This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Everybody loves designer dogs, especially Doug the Pug of YouTube and Instagram fame. But do people actually know the health issues that these dogs can have? Hi, my name is Leona Harley. I am from Trident High School in Whakatane, and I will be discussing brachycephalic syndrome in dogs. So, what exactly is brachycephalic? Do you own a dog breed that may have brachycephalic syndrome? Here are some of the affected dog breeds: English and French Bulldogs, Pugs, Boston Terriers, Pekingese, Shih Tzu, Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, Boxers, Dog de Bordeaux, and Bull Mastiffs. Brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome, commonly known as BOAS, is a term given to the effects that the shortened head of these animals has on the passage of air through the upper airways. Brachy means shortened and cephalic means head. Brachycephalic breeds have bones in their face which are shorter in length, which gives the animal's face and nose a flat or squishy appearance. Some of the symptoms are noisy breathing. The dogs suffering from BOAS often make loud raspy or snorting noises while breathing, and sometimes even while they're resting. This can manifest as snoring during sleep or wheezing during exercise. Another symptom of the difficulty breathing is during exercise or hot on hot days. Some signs you may notice is distress, such as struggling to breathe or gasping for air. Some of the dogs have excessive panting, which is due to their obstructive airway. BOAS dogs may pant more than usual, especially when they are excited or anxious. BOAS dogs may pant to cool themselves down, but it can be ineffective in severe cases. BOAS dogs tire way easier during physical activities and may even collect insufficient oxygen during exercise. Some BOAS dogs struggle with gastrointestinal issues, which means they cannot digest their food properly as they regurgitate or vomit and can have decreased appetites. This can result from the strain on their bodies caused by poor oxygen levels. They also gain weight rapidly due to their inability to exercise properly. BOAS dogs also have severe heat intolerance, which means they are higher of risk of overheating since their ability to pant is efficiently compromised. This can result in heat stress or even heat stroke in extreme cases. In some circumstances, this may require surgery under anaesthetic for a detailed examination. An X-ray of the chest is done so that vets can examine the size of the dog's trachea, which is its windpipe. Once a dog is fully under sedation, the airways are evaluated. In some BOAS surgeries, the soft palate is shortened, the nostrils are widened so that the dogs can breathe, and the larginal saccules are removed, which is a small tissue masses located between the vocal folds and the lateral wall of the lungs. This surgery can be very risky, and it isn't performed at all vet practices, so a specialist is likely to need to be seen. These animals have won over the hearts of pet enthusiasts all around the globe, including those in New Zealand. However, this affection overlooks the serious health challenges that affect these animals' well-being and lead to the suffering due to their appearance. Earlier this year, after extensive discussions with various animal experts, including the SPCA and the New Zealand Veterinary Association, TradeMe decided to prohibit the sale of three brachycephalic breeds, Pugs, French Bulldogs, and British Bulldogs, on its platform. In this podcast, I'm going to be exploring the health issues faced by these brachycephalic breeds and the efforts of veterinary professionals and animal advocates worldwide who are advocating for change. So, what actually is BOAS? So, there are several different contributing anatomical issues with boas. The stenotic nares are the small nostrils that restrict the airflow that flows into the upper respiratory system. They also have an elongated soft palate. This is the soft part on the roof of the dog's mouth. The soft palate is too long for the size of the dog's mouth, which means it partially blocks the entrance to the trachea at the back of the throat. The trachea is a tube that relocates air from the nasal passages, throat, and lungs to the two large airways that section off into each lung. With the restrictions, this can limit the amount of air that has access to the respiratory system. Animals with boas can have a hypoplastic trachea or windpipe. This is severely underdeveloped trachea, which means it's smaller in diameter than normal, which also limits the airflow into the respiratory system. The shorter snouts also alter the dental arcade and can cause overcrowding of the teeth, making them more prone to dental disease, which means more pain for the animal and more money needed to be spent to help the animal. Breeders have engaged in selective breeding, which determines the phenotypes in which the animal looks like. They also breed closely related dogs so that they can have the favoured looks passed down to offspring, which means it's extremely strong so it's likely to be seen. Having diversity is extremely important, as if a population were to go through a bottleneck effect, the surviving animals would be in a small gene pool, meaning that there would be no variation in the gene pool. Bottleneck effect is a significant reduction in a population size due to environmental or human activities. There are some long-term side effects with dogs with boas. Breathing problems, digestive issues, eye issues, difficulty giving birth, spinal malformations, exercise and heat intolerance, sleeping difficulties, skin and ear issues, as well as dental problems. And some dogs have lifelong issues, which means constant vet visits, which means lots of money spent, and still having a dog who suffers. Some dogs really struggle with breathing after exercise, and so they cannot exercise properly. This means that the dogs become severely overweight. Some dogs are so severe that they are euthanized because they can't breathe properly. I believe that it is highly unethical for breeders to sell these dogs knowing that they will have lifelong health issues that will affect the quality of their life. These dogs in their current state are not healthy enough to be living in. It is unethical that brachycephalics are continued to be bred as they are currently. These animals are born with such extreme conformational defects that they grow up to have serious health issues that affect their everyday life. In 2017, the British Veterinary Association conducted a survey regarding brachycephalics. Vets reported that 56% of brachycephalic dogs that they had seen in practice needed treatment for breed-related issues, and only 10% of these owners could actually recognise that their dog had any issues. Pre-purchase discussion of these animals should be had with potential owners, which may reduce the number of people purchasing these animals or to ensure that those that do are fully informed prior to purchase. The British Veterinary Journal also created a questionnaire, and the response was that most vets had referred pug and French bulldog owners for surgical treatment. Other responses were that brachycephalic dogs exhibited substantial exercise struggles and had longer recovery times after any physical activity. This was 88%. They also showed visual signs of sensitivity to the heat, with more severe symptoms occurring at over temperatures of 19 degrees. And 56% reported sleep disturbances due to facial features. Another reason why it is unethical to breed boas dogs is that they struggle to reproduce naturally, meaning that they can't mate due to the female's anatomy. This means that they aren't able to get and pup naturally and need assistance during birth, which is a caesarean, which is also costly, and there is a limit on caesareans per dog. The popularity of these dogs has increased due to boas dogs having puppy eyes with squish face and celebrities influencing these dogs like Lady Gaga and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. They are also used in advertising campaigns and appearing in films. We have to consider that these encourage ownership without prior knowledge of the breed's suffering. The rise of the French Bulldog's popularity has encouraged more backyard breeders to breed multiple litters from individual animals with little regard for the animal's welfare. There is an insatiable demand for these animals and large monetary gain to be had from breeding them as often as possible.
The questions I'll be asking will give us a bit more of a basis on why people are so down on these breeds, even though some of them do not have health issues. So could you please tell me a bit about your dog, name, breed, personality, and what drew you to that breed?
So my dog's name, or our dog's name, is Macy. She is a French bulldog with a little bit of pug in her. She has the friendliest, most loving personality, just such a vibrant personality. I wasn't originally drawn to the breed. It was actually my husband, and he originally wanted a pug. And we knew someone whose dog landed up having a teenage pregnancy during COVID lockdown, and he was determined that he was going to get one of the puppies. And basically what happened was we were first to choose from the litter, and she was the one he fell in love with.
Nice. Do you know about the potential health risks of a Boas dog?
I didn't. Well, I suspected at first, but I didn't know as much as what I do now. And obviously there are things that we have to watch for, but again, that shouldn't be putting people off.
Yeah. Have you had any experiences with issues?
So the only issue that we have had is she's had pancreatitis, and that's purely from diet. It is something that is known to be in this type of dog, and it was a simple fix with medication and diet. And now that she is on a very strict diet and weight loss, we've had no more issues.
Did you know that weight gain can be part of Boas?
Yes.
That you can get it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the dogs that I've seen that have come into my mum's work have all been overweight and struggling to breathe when they walk in.
Yeah, and also because of the way they're built, because they're so stocky,
yeah,
a lot of the time they are very heavy, but they're actually not that overweight as what people think. So, yeah, it's because they are very stocky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does have an impact.
Yeah.
100%, yeah.
Have you had any struggles with exercising her? Or, like,
no.
No issues?
No, we don't have any struggles with exercising her. Obviously, we're cautious.
Yeah.
She knows when she's had enough, but we've never had her lie down on a walk and refuse to walk. We are very aware of walking her in the heat.
Yeah.
Because they do get very hot and they do overheat, so we do watch that kind of walking mostly really early in the morning or late in the evening. But when it comes to her playing and playing with dogs, other dogs, or playing with kids, when she's tired, she's tired, but she gets over that tiredness really quickly.
Yeah.
So no problems with her exercising at all. The only thing that we do watch is we don't want her jumping too much, because we do know that with this particular type of dog, there is the potential to have spinal issues.
Yeah.
And so we are cautious with something like that. So, like, for example, we have steps up to our bed.
Yeah.
So that she can get up. And we've ensured that, for example, our cat flap that she can use is low enough that she doesn't have to jump.
Yeah. Has she got a tail?
No.
So she's
no tail.
No tail.
No tail.
So she's got a corkscrew. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Have you had any issues with the overcrowding of teeth, any dental work?
No, her teeth are actually really good. And your mum's checked them.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is because obviously with the smushed in face, overcrowding is one massive issue.
Yeah, no, she doesn't have any overcrowding. She doesn't have that much of an underbite.
Yeah.
So it's not even noticeable. In fact, no, her underbite is, you can't even notice it. And she's actually got really straight teeth in the front, and her back are nice and straight. So there's no overcrowding. We're actually really lucky.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Really lucky.
Yeah. Another question that I have. What are some misconceptions that you've heard about the breed?
That all of them have spinal issues, which is not true. Mm-hmm. That all of them are going to need to have that BOAS surgery, which they don't the all need.
Palate, yeah.
The removal of the soft palate, all of that. They don't all need that.
Yeah.
That their eyes pop out. Not all of them does that happen to. That they can be particularly aggressive and bad-tempered sometimes. We haven't had any of that. Skin allergies.
Yeah.
We've not had any issues with skin allergies. Obviously, we are very careful what we feed her. So, you know, we've prevented that. The infections and the wrinkles, not had any problems with that. Sleep apnea, where they stop breathing when they're sleeping. Although she snores, it's not horrendous, and she doesn't stop snoring. She doesn't stop. And, yeah, I'm going to say they're all gassy. They really are all gassy. But that's from all the oxygen that they're taking when they're busy running around and whatnot. But, no, a lot of the stuff that they have online that people are complaining about, we actually haven't had any of those, which we're really lucky, yeah.
What would you tell someone that's potentially looking to buy a dog that is a breed that likely has brachycephalic syndrome?
I think they need to find out from whoever the breeder is what the parents are like, who the parents are. Probably if they're really wanting, if they're going to spend a lot of money, obviously pet insurance, but to look at what their tails are like, because some breeders are now bringing out the Frenchies with tails, so it knocks out that whole corkscrew spinal issue. Looking at whether or not they do have any, the parents have any health issues. So if they are going to spend a lot of money and get a purebred one, let's get that genetic testing.
Yeah. Another question that I'm going to throw in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of what Nicole Thomas is doing? Do you know what she's doing to help Frenchies?
Yeah, I do. She's imported her Frenchie and the sperm from Australia, and she's breeding out the no tail. So her male and those puppies have all got tails. I've seen the male the other day. He was lovely. But they're also much bigger, and they have wider nostrils.
Yeah.
So that takes out that nostril, that whole breathing issue. So they do look a little different, and I think it's a great idea. I'm not sure what the Kennel Association would be thinking about that. I don't know. I know she also has some blue, blue colouring.
The rear colouring.
Yeah.
She's got that.
I know she's got those, but I can see why she's doing it. I really do, and I can see why her puppies are the price that they are. And I think that if people are interested in that and they want to avoid those excessive vet fees that they could potentially have, that is probably something that, Nicole's going the right way. She is a trained vet nurse, so she knows what she's doing.
I think from what I was told by her, she was struggling with her original Frenchie that she got, had a lot of issues and still has issues to this day, even though it's had soft palate surgery removing that. And I think when she saw that happen, that was a wake-up call for her to change in what she was...
Yeah, because she hasn't been able to breed with that one.
No.
And that one's had its voice box removed as well, because the breathing tube was so close to the voice box that the voice box was actually blocking it. It was a problem for her, and she had had the eye pop out as well. So the new Frenchies that she's got, their eyes aren't as
bulgy.
Yeah.
But from what I've researched, they don't want them shown at their shows with
the tail,
with the longer face, with everything. they have to be their standard. Yeah.
And they won't show the blues either.
No.
Yeah.
They're so specific.
Yeah.
And I don't like that they're promoting the dogs with those. These dogs are coming off the stage wheezing.
Yeah.
They're like so.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Any.
No, I think that we're actually really lucky. They have the lovely, I think the, what draws people to them is they have the most beautiful personalities. They're not just a normal dog kind of personality. They just have a character that's completely different to what you would ever imagine. Mm-hmm. If I can't imagine what our family would be like now without Macy, because she's just such a character that knowing that my two older ones, time is limited with them, and thinking she's going to need a buddy once they've gone, because she is quite close to them, that I will consider getting another one, because just the character, and just they're just so friendly, and they, well, mine's really good with cats as well. Yeah. The cats actually use her for protection.
Yeah.
You know, if they're scared of something, they cuddle up to her. She's really, she's a good guard dog,
mm-hmm.
but not aggressive, which has been really good.
Yeah.
I mean, we've experienced what aggressive dogs look like. I also think that maybe some of those that are shown can be particularly aggressive, but I don't know whether or not they're crate trained, because I do think that that makes a difference as well, is if they're crate trained or if they're just part of the family. And ours lives in bed with us. So
yeah.
She, you know, whereas the crate training, they are separate from.
Yeah. There's that isolation. There.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not a crate training fan.
No. Would you ever get any other type of dog that could have BOAS?
Well, my husband's still keen on a pug. I wouldn't want to. We like small dogs. So even if it was, say, for example, an English bulldog,
yeah,
I wouldn't go that size. And particularly because we are always about small dogs.
Yeah.
But one thing that we don't do is send them to the kennels.
Yeah.
We always get a house sitter in if we're going to be away. And the house sitter has very strict instructions about the diet and no treats and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it does impact what we do sometimes.
Yeah.
We have to plan ahead. But that's nothing that's actually really significant. You know, we just work around that. Obviously, ours have a big routine.
Yeah.
They're fed at the same time every day. That can only get a certain treats on a certain day or certain time, and their walks are at a certain time. So they have a proper routine that they know. But no, if anybody comes to stay with us or if anybody's house sitting, they just have to fit in with their routine, actually.
Yeah. One last question. Would you recommend people to get a vet check before adopting these dogs and doing proper research?
Yes. And they need to get a vet check with somebody who is an expert with them.
Yeah.
Not just any old vet. And there are not a lot of vets that are actually experts at them. And there are some vets that are very, very anti. So I'll tell you a horrible story.
Yeah.
Macy's mum had a teenage pregnancy. And the lady that owned her took her in for, was going to take her in for a scan to see how many puppies they were.
Yeah.
Okay, so took her into the alternative vet. And the vet said that, did the scan, saw how many puppies there were, and said to her that what she needed to do was she needed to have her spayed immediately and abort all the puppies. And this was a week before the puppies were due. And so Kerry brought Willa home, and that was the end of it. She wasn't going back to that vet. And she was going to get a C-section, and Willa had her puppies naturally, which often doesn't happen with these dogs. No. Made herself comfortable on the couch, made a little bed, and had the puppies. And the vet rang her and asked her if she was still bringing them in, and she said no, she'd had them all, and she'd had all seven puppies absolutely fine, no problems. So we've never gone to that vet from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Because, that was the attitude everybody was going to have a problem. All the puppies were going to have a problem. Puppies weren't going to survive. All these horrible things. And actually, all the puppies are fine.
It was
kind of a shocker of a story, so that's definitely put us off their feet.
I definitely think even if vets do have their opinions, they don't pressure anyone else with that opinion.
Yeah.
Because I know for a fact my mum is, she doesn't like them not being able to breathe properly and that's all that stuff, because there's higher risk under anaesthetic where they can possibly die because they don't get enough oxygen. And yeah, obviously there are so many risks that the vets have
but you know, like when Macy was when she was spayed, we knew because the vet had prepared us, and what she was given extra oxygen before she went in, and she was given oxygen when she went up, and we knew the risks. But we also knew that she needed to be spayed because, you know, we don't want to go and get her into a teenage pregnancy. But there are vets that know how to care for them properly.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that need to be. So often on the Facebook page that I have, that I belong to, you'll often, people will be asking which vets should they suggest going to. And people will travel from Hamilton to Auckland to go and see the specialist vets for certain surgeries. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do know that a lot of people who do want to go away often find there are people out there that will do like homestays, and it will be particularly for this type of dog so that they know that they have an expert looking after them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, no, we...
Thank you so much.
We are blessed to have ours. I love her. No problem.
Thank
you. It's an absolute pleasure.
A New Zealand vet who is against the breeding of brachycephalic dogs in their current form is Anna Cochrane from Veterinary Health Centre in Whakatane. I interviewed her for her views, and she sees it as unethical. She says that what she qualified as a vet, she took a Hippocratic oath that put animal welfare above anything else within the veterinary field. Therefore, to support and encourage the breeding and adoption of brachycephalic animals would be against this oath. She tries to make these animals as comfortable as possible and minimise the impact of their genetic issues on their lives. She encourages owners to research the breeds that they are interested in buying before purchasing. She encourages them to use reputable breeders who are actively trying to improve the animal's genetics and therefore the welfare of these animals. She often encourages these animals in practice and helps them to ensure they get adequate treatment or help for all issues, including those directly attributed to their breed. One breeder who is trying to make a difference is Nicole Thomas. Nicole owns Aroha Iti Frenchies, who breed French Bulldogs. She is for the breeding of French Bulldogs because she wants to make a change for the breed, because there are so many dogs that are struggling with boas. Nicole also wants to help future generations of Frenchies have better lives by being free from boas and have less hereditary issues, knowing that these dogs are able to exercise and breathe easier. She also believes that French Bulldogs have a kind temperament and are loving family dogs, and they bring her such joy. She loves breeding them, and by breeding them to have fewer health issues, their quality of life is so much better. She is also trying to make a change by educating other breeders with what she is successful with and what she struggles with. Nicole has certain protocols she follows to make sure that her change is positive and successful. Nicole is part of the MDBA, the Master Dog Breeders and Associates Registry, and involved in the Gap Problem Program. This is the DVL2 Elimination Program. The DVL2 is the screw tail gene. This produces hemivertebrae, the malformed vertebrae in their spines. Eliminating this gene also helps seems to prevent the cartilage from collapsing in the face, therefore leaving the airways more open. So how can owners help their furry friends? Owners can make sure that they maintain a consistent weight, which is healthy because the extra weight puts more pressure on the airways, which makes it harder for the dog to breathe. They can do this by feeding a low-fat dietary food and portion control. Owners can also help by exercising them at appropriate times of the day and not over-exercising or playing with them too much. In hot weather, making sure their dog is inside so then they aren't hot and that they have shade and aircon. Owners should do research of what symptoms can be and in hot months be really careful with exposure to the heat. If symptoms of respiratory distress appear, then action should be taken and seek veterinary care and support. If your animal is suffering constantly from respiratory issues, you should consider surgical correction, and this should be consulted with your vet. The final thing you can do to help your animal is checking in with your vet, and even a vet that is specialised with brachycephalic breeds, and keep them updated with your dog's everyday health. So in conclusion, what I'm trying to say is people should be more careful with what they're buying and have prior knowledge to the animal. They should be speaking to the owners and knowing about the genetic history of the dog that they're considering buying so that they are aware of these potential health issues before purchasing and spending all this money.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.